It's time for This Week in WordPress, episode number 303, entitled This Lunar Cycle in WordPress. It was recorded on Monday the 22nd of July, 2024. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and I am joined by three fabulous people today. The co-host is Michelle Frechette, and the two guests are Dave Gray and Derek Ashower. It is a WordPress podcast, although we do stray a bit off-piste this week. First up, we talk about all of the bits and pieces that came in 6.6, what do we like and what do we make use of. We also get into a conversation which was started by a post which Matt Mullenweg put on his own blog, in which he talked about the recent price hikes for a particular website over on Webflow. Was that normal? Was that to do with their terms and conditions? You can judge for yourself. We talk about some events, so we talk about the WP London meetup, which is happening this week. We also talk about Stellar Spark, which happened last week, WP Diversity Day, and WordCamp Canada all come under inspection as well. Related to WordCamp Canada, we talk about the WP Community Collective and a few people that they have incentivized along the DEIB grounds this week. We also talk about an event which happened in Uganda this week and promote a video. Nitro Pack has been bought by WP Engine, and the plugin Quickly has come back from the dead. What does this mean? Will people ever trust that property again? And we also talk about the CrowdStrike vulnerability, which has been affecting people from north to south of the globe. All that and more coming up next on This Week in WordPress. This episode of the WP Builds podcast is brought to you by GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. And by Bluehost. Redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud. Managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And by Omnisend. Do you sell your stuff online? Then meet Omnisend. Yes, that Omnisend. The email and SMS tool that helps you make 73 bucks for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of rollercoaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try Omnisend today at omnisend.com. Hello.
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 Hi there. This Week in WordPress, number 303.
That's quite a milestone.
Yeah, I know. I know. It just keeps going up, Michelle. It never goes down. I don't know what's going on there. Yeah. So we are here. I just quickly should get this out there. I'm going to have a week off next week because it's the school holidays in the UK. Dave's like, because that's when we have it. I think in the US, you're just kind of going back to school and all that kind of thing, aren't you? When we're just sort of beginning the holidays, you're finishing and
really depends on where you live in the United States.
Okay. Okay.
The North goes back to school in September, but the South goes back in August.
Oh, okay. So that, okay. The North is a little bit like it is here. Anyway, our kids have a bit of time off, so we're going to go off. And so that's why I'm saying that we're going to take a week off, but we're here for this week. And as you can see, we're joined by three fabulous people. Firstly, let me get the angle right. Down there in the corner is Michelle Frechette, the co-host for this episode. Nice to have you with us, Michelle.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Michelle's just got back. I don't know when just got back applies, but from WordCamp Canada. You tell us all about that a little bit later.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Michelle Frechette, though, if you haven't seen her before, she's been on the show many, many, many times before. She is the Director of Community Engagement for Stellar WP at Liquid Web. That's all on its own line. So I guess, is that the main thing that you do?
That's my day job. That's my bread and butter. Job.
Yeah,
that's where I spend most time.
And then all these other bits and pieces sort of fit in around that, I'm guessing. So in addition to that job at Stella WP, Michelle is also the podcast barista at WP Coffee. No, I nearly said Toffee Cork. WPCoffeeTalk.com, co-founder of UnderrepresentedInTech.com, creator of WPSpeakers.com, and also WPCareerPages.com. The executive director at poststatus.com. That's a very important position, isn't it? Co-host of WP Motivate, which is a podcast. The co-host also of the Audacity Marketing podcast. Host on WP Constellations. Podcast author. Sorry, podcast. That was to do with the previous sentence. But she's also an author and a frequent organizer and speaker at WordPress events. Living outside of Rochester, New York, she's an avid nature photographer. And you can learn more if you wanted another URL at meetmichelle.online. Thank you for joining us once more.
My pleasure.
Thank you so much. Also joining me from good old Blighty over there is Dave Gray. Does anybody else use that word, Blighty? We call England Blighty or Britain Blighty. I don't know why that is, but no, okay.
New to me.
No, okay. But Dave will know, right? You've heard that word.
It's one of the Blighty words people call us.
Yeah. I'm sure there's much worse. Dave Gray, there he is. He is the man behind two handy plugins that can help web designers look after their clients. Site owner and admin manager ensures a site's administrator email address belongs to an active admin user account. This helps work toward good site governance, whilst also preventing a client from easily going rogue and locking you out by deleting or downgrading your admin user, leaving you stuck with endless email notifications. His upcoming hero service, which is what you can see on the screen, Heads Up WP. Yeah, that's right.
So I got confused with that.
Oh, yeah. Heads Up WP helps protect your reputation by finding and alerting you to a wide range of website content issues before your client finds them. You can find him and his typically British dad joke humor on Twitter at friendlywebguy.com. I deploy the dad joke like every few hours, and I think I'm the funniest man alive. And my kids just like, you know, it's like tumbleweed. Like, oh, just
the groans.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's embarrassing, isn't it? But yeah, I promised my 14-year-old self that I wouldn't do that. Had kids.
It's too much like, fun, though. Like that 14.
Yeah.
That 14-year-old had no idea how much fun dad jokes are. Right.
Exactly right. And finally, we're joined down there by Derek Ashour. How are you doing, Derek?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Yeah, nice to have you with us. Derek is the maker of Conversion Bridge, which is a new, I'm going to say new, WordPress plugin making conversion tracking setup a one-click process for over 50 popular plugins and over 10 analytics and ad platforms like Google Analytics 4, Plausible, Fathom, Google Ads, etc. You didn't drop the URL, so do you just want to quickly do that for us whilst we're doing this bit?
ConversionBridgeWP.com.
Nice and straightforward. ConversionBridgeWP.com. Go check that out. So there's our panelists. Really appreciate joining us today. We'll talk a little bit more about the WordPress news from this last week in just a moment. But a few bits of fairly uninteresting housekeeping, but we've got to kind of do it just to make sure that it all gets done correctly. The first thing to say is that if you are watching this and you'd like somebody else to watch it with you, this is probably the best place to go. Head over to wpbuilds.com/live and then send that URL to whoever you like. A few little caveats, though. The platforms are sort of closing down the APIs slowly but surely so that things like this can't get into them. Facebook's just done it fairly recently. So really, the only place to make comments is on that page. You can do it on the YouTube video as well. If you go to our YouTube channel and find it there, that'll work. But wpbuilds.com/live has got the YouTube comments embedded on the right-hand side of the video on desktop. But also, if you don't like Google and you don't want to have a YouTube account, that's fine. Go to the actual video, and at the top right is a little thing called, I don't know, live chat or something like that. It's in a little black rectangle. Click that, and you can comment without being logged into anything. So that, you know, that's people who are anti-social media and things like that, that kind of makes sense. And yeah, please feel free to go and share it. We often have a few little comments coming in at the beginning, and today is no different. If you want to make comments, please do. It really genuinely makes the show a lot more entertaining. Be comedic, be, you know, be caustic, be acerbic, whatever you like. It's all good fun. And let's start off with Lawrence. Laura, I'm presuming this is Lawrence Ladomery. He's, I'm guessing, joining us from Australia. He's just saying hello. Hi there. Alan Fuller. So you'll probably be on the A303. Did somebody make a road gag that I didn't hear earlier? What was the...
It's episode 303, so if you're going on holiday...
Oh, that's fabulous.
This is a road joke in the UK. Honestly...
Way over like, my head.
Because the UK is small enough, right? Because it's probably about the size of... Oh, I don't know. It's probably about the size of New York State or something like that. Maybe it's bigger than that, but it's not much bigger. Everybody knows... like how to get more or less everywhere by the, so we can name all the roads. So, you know, oh, and everybody has a discussion about the best way. You know, if you tell somebody, oh, I'm going to Torquay, oh, you want to take the A3064. No, don't do that. Take the, and on it goes. It's terribly British and frankly, terribly boring. But thank you, Alan, for punctuating it with a bit of humor. Marcus Burnett, who was unable to join us on the show today, is saying good morning from the road again. He's driving to Tennessee. Always great to see these fantastic folks. Thank you so much. Marcus joined us fairly famously a couple of weeks ago from an aeroplane, which was kind of interesting. Didn't even know that was possible. Alan is coming back to us. He says, apparently in the First World War, soldiers would pray for a blighty. Oh, a wound that would get them back to Britain for treatment. So like a minor injury, you maybe put your hand up above the parapet, hoping for something to happen to your hand. So that you could get sent home and there your war would be over. There you go. Catch a blighty. Ah, that's great. Thank you, Alan. That's made my day. Cameron Jones says, as a fellow dad, I can confirm dad jokes are not a choice, but an obligation.
True.
Totally right. And Mike Johnson joined. Mike. He's in Lisbon, where it's 33 degrees and it's on its way to 36 degrees. We always have weather reports, don't we? And it all started with this gentleman, Peter Ingersoll. And here he comes. Good morning from currently sunny Connecticut in the Northeast US, 23 degrees or 74 degrees Fahrenheit and rising. Thank you so much. And the A303 goes past Stonehenge. So now you know, if you wanted to go to Stonehenge, take the A303. That'll get you there. That's brilliant. Keep it coming. That's absolutely fabulous. We could talk about arterial roads for the rest of the show if you wanted, but I suspect that we'd run out of things fairly quickly. So let's get on to WordPress's stuff. That's what we're here for. Just before we begin, a couple of shout outs. Well, three actually, to our sponsors. Firstly, thanks to GoDaddy Pro, who've been sponsoring us for absolutely ages, years and years. Real hat tip to them. Look, I've got a hat to tip and everything. But also recently joined us Bluehost. And even more recently, we were joined by OmniSend. So big thanks to GoDaddy Pro, Bluehost, and OmniSend for keeping the lights on. If you want to know what we're doing and get a couple of emails each week when we release new things, put your email address in there and click subscribe. There is a no spam guarantee. I will only send you uninteresting content, not spammy content. There is a difference. Okay, so that's us. And let's get stuck in. So here, it landed. It finally happened. WordPress 6.6 came along. It felt like one of the biggest. I say this more or less every single time there's a big update. I say it's the biggest update we've had in years, but this genuinely felt like a big update. We've been through this over and over again, but I'm just going to show you a couple of pages, which, you know, public facing so that people who are not familiar with WordPress can get an insight into it. More design options added to block themes, simplified workflow for layouts. Oh, sorry. And a new layout for pages in the site editor. That's pretty big. That's one of the biggest overhauls to the admin UI I've seen in, honestly, decade or more, I think, in all honesty. What else have we got? Auto updates for plugins for your peace of mind. So if your plugin is updated and something goes wrong, the idea it will offer you a level of security by rolling it back to the previous safe version, which is dead cool. Sync patterns, you can customize content in different ways using those. And then we've got performance and accessibility updates. There was another piece which was basically covering the same thing over here. I will link to all of these in the show notes, but I'll stop wittering on and just say 6.6, Dave, Derek, Michelle, anything that you've found exciting about it since you updated?
I'm surprised it took us this long to get to Tommy Dorsey. That's all I'm going to say to start. Like, that's one of the biggest ones. I thought, man, really? We haven't had him as a patriarch of release yet? But
I'm not a jazz fan, I got to say. I mean, I know the big names in jazz, but when you're at the level of Dorsey, you... Oh, is he? Okay, well, that's...
He is one of the big names, yeah.
Okay, well, there you go. Okay, thank you. Dave, it sounded like you were going to just interject there as well.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I already found out that the plug-in rollback bits work from a client site, on their staging site, I should say. Had the rollback email through, so I can confirm that feature's working nicely. And it does let you know when something's rolled back, so you can look into it.
And did it? Was it because there was an actual fault? In other words, if you force the change, did it break?
I've actually looked into why it broke.
Yeah,
I think that staging site had Elementor Pro that then decided to update and then failed, and it rolled itself back and had the email through. So it's like, yeah, that's a good reason for auto-updating on your staging site before you do it in your production, just to see what blows up on that side. So
yeah,
that's just an improvement.
Yeah, I mean it's... It is, on the face of it, quite a little improvement in that, you know, it's a kind of like you'll never hopefully ever see it in reality. But you imagine the amount of cost across the globe that it'll save, and heartache and effort that it'll save for people who, you know, they're non-technical, their website is broken, they don't really know why. So they've got a phone, their developer, and their developer's busy and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's going to cost them a fortune to get fixed. It's a minor thing, but it's also a pretty major thing for those people in that situation, I kind of feel. So I felt that was more important than maybe we were all giving it credit for, you know, when it was sort of muted as a thing which was going to come.
She got people on either side of the fence of auto updates make life easier versus don't auto update. But then if you've got your small site with this little amount of traffic coming through, you just want it to be secure. And if something does fall over, it sorts itself out. Because if you've got the funds to get someone to look after it, then you would do. But if you haven't, then that's next best fail safe.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty neat feature. What about you, Derek? Anything that struck you?
Couple of things. I'm curious if the plugin rollbacks, how, you know, if there's plugins that need to be a little more conscientious of that, just because of, you know, your plugin does an update to the database and maybe they add a new database table.
Oh,
and then all of a sudden the files get rolled back. And now, you know, I'm curious how, you know, or it makes changes to the database to do things in that auto update. And then all of a sudden now the database is in one state, but the files are in another.
You know,
for some people, it might be a little bit more. It might not be as smooth for in some instances.
I hadn't given that a moment's thought. I was just working on the basis of, well, we'll just roll back the files. But of course, yeah, if the update in the process, I don't know, came with a totally new set of tables or modified a table name or something. Yeah, that's really...
Yeah, they restructured how metadata was stored or something like that, and now all of a sudden, well.
Yeah. So the rollback in that scenario could be like pretty catastrophically bad, actually. That's interesting. Yeah, I hadn't given that.
Yeah, so yeah, the challenge would be is because I always think everything as a plugin developer, how is this going to affect me?
Yeah.
And then now all of a sudden you have to be like, well, now do I need to keep copies of data in the old? If I did something like that in a plugin, would I need to keep a copy of the old data? You know, duplicate everything so that's in the old format in case something happens, and then my plugin gets rolled back, and then they don't yell at me, your plugin's broken, you messed everything up on my site, it's all your fault.
Tim Nash is behind us.
People are quick to...
Sorry, okay. Derek, I apologize.
I haven't looked into it, so I think we've before got a bit the of database migration.
An overlap. So Tim says the auto update rollback would occur before the database migration. So maybe that has been, in fact, mitigated.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah. I haven't tested it myself yet. So.
Yeah. Interesting. And he's got a little bit more. Let me see if I can highlight his comment here. He says the auto rollback would occur as the fatal error would have triggered first. Okay. Interesting.
Thank you, Tim Nash, for that.
Thank you, Tim Nash, for that.
It's still optional too, right? So auto updates, you can still turn them off. So if you don't want them, you don't have to have them.
Yeah, and I think I would do it on a fairly circumspect basis. You know, those companies who I know and I trust, and you know, that's an entirely subjective measure, isn't it? But there are, aren't there? There's always plugin developers who you know put in the hours, and there's ones that you've inherited a site or something, you're not really sure what this plugin is. Maybe there's something to be said for those. Yeah. Okay. So apart from the auto updates, there's a whole bunch of other bits and pieces. I will link to all of this in the show notes. It was a fairly sizable release, but because we've been banging on about it for absolutely ages, we won't go into all the detail. Elliot's joining us though. Hi, Elliot. Nice to have you with us. Sorry, Michelle, your head has gone. Let me hide that. And then now you're back. Yeah. A small change, but I'm a big fan of negative margins. Oh, all right. Yeah. Negative margins that can now be input into the UI, a nice decision, nice addition for designers. So obviously, you know, if you know anything about CSS, negative margins can allow you to sort of like creep into other spaces. You might want to push something up and overlap something. Yeah, before that, you couldn't put negative numbers in the UI, could you? Or at least I don't think you could in the block editor. I mean, you could in like third-party things, like generate blocks and things like that, I think allowed you to do it, probably, you know, cadence and things like that. But it's now part of the default. And Mike Johnson saying, yep, negative margins. Also improved grid block. Yeah, yeah.
Which should be minus one.
Which would?
It should be minus one for negative.
Oh.
There's a dad joke. Yeah,
exactly. That was, you took the words. Right. I mean, come on, Dave. That was, even I could so see serious. The jokiness there.
But great. He was so serious. It took us all a bit to figure out what he was saying.
I can hear my kids totting, even though they're not even in the house. I can hear it. Please. Okay, Tim is... if you don't know Tim, he joins us very regularly, actually, and he's a security expert. I think expert is probably underselling it, in all honesty. He really does know the bits and pieces about security in general, but WordPress security specifically. Please either turn auto updates on or turn them off. Please don't selectively choose plugins to auto update. That way leads to very broken sites. Okay, Tim, I feel my knuckles have been wrapped. I will stop doing that because that's what I was just telling everybody that I did. And Mike Johnson's Dave. I don't know who Dave is. Who's Dave? Mike.
Dave Gray.
Oh, Dave, that,
I thought it was somebody in the comments.
Me off already.
I thought it was somebody else in the comments. Sorry, Dave.
Forget the code, right.
No, it was that dad joke. Yeah, I blotted you out of my mind. James is joining us saying good morning. Happy birthday, Tim. Is it your birthday, Tim? If so, me, Dave, Derek, and Michelle are going to sing you happy birthday. No, we're not. No, we're not. Nobody signed up for that.
I love being voluntold to
see Derek's head going, no, I'm not doing that.
No. Oh, no, I accidentally closed the window.
That's right, yeah. Okay, so we've got these couple of articles all about WordPress 6.6. You can go and check them out. I'll link to them in the show notes. But this is Matt Mullenweg's blog. And he released a very short post on the 16th of July, and it says, nice new WordPress 6.6 is out. It's the 50th release. I didn't know that, but that's kind of a nice milestone. And then he says this, on the same day, people are getting hit with huge bills from Webflow. I didn't really know what to make of this, but obviously there's a bit of a hyperlink buried in there. So I clicked on the hyperlink. And it took me over to a tweet by somebody I don't know called Nico Sederia or something equivalent to that. And I'll just read it out. And it's kind of interesting, especially if you're in the open source space. It says, WTF is wrong with Webflow. They're forcing me to pay $15,000 a year, up from $468, a 32x price increase overnight. And they gave me 1 week to decide if I want to upgrade or move the whole Failery, which is the website that he has, failery.com, site to another CMS. And then I'm going to flip back to Matt's article because then he carries on. I really enjoy working in open source. There is no customer-centric license. There's some really fun stuff cooking. I can't wait to show you all. 50 releases, wow. No matter what happens in the world, we're just going to keep cranking 3 times a year, relentlessly, a little better each time. Don't believe me, just watch, which feels like it's a pop song or something. but anyway, so I just thought that was curious. I don't know. I could be wrong. I don't know if Matt has ever sort of taken aim at another property, in this case, Webflow, before. But also, I don't know anything about the price increase. But let's just, for the sake of argument, let's assume that this Nico person is telling the truth and the terms and conditions have changed. Maybe his usage has gone up dramatically over the year. You know, it's a mark of a very successful website. I don't know. But either way, you can avoid that by using open source software like WordPress, for example. And I just thought that was curious. Dave, did you know something about this story? Did you... when we were talking before we hit record, it sounded like you did.
Yeah, I think beforehand, I've seen a few other people talking about it, like, how is your bandwidth that high? Can't you use like a CDN and caching and things on that side? And also, if the plan that you're on gave you this much bandwidth, and for 5 or 6 months you've used that much, having a price increase or being adjusted to a correct plan wouldn't be too much of a surprise. Then I think at the same time, they announced they're changing and reducing the amount of bandwidth you get on certain things as well. So it's like a double whammy of, oh, we're giving you less, and by the way, we've figured out you're overusing what you should be doing. Here's a big bail on that side.
But right, so it is a bit of the person's popularity as well. And I guess more or less every platform is going to do something similar, aren't they? You know, if you've got any kind of, I don't know, Google Photos, for example, once you hit a certain limit, you pay a little bit more. Google Drive, everything, you just have pay a little bit more. And Cameron hops into the comments and says, You can't tell me .com, so WordPress.com, wouldn't do the same thing on a site that's five times their allotted bandwidth for months on end. So, Cameron, firstly, is that the case? Was that story from Nico, was it the fact that he was five times over his limit, in which case a 5x increase, I guess, maybe you'd kind of expect. But, yeah, interesting.
From what I saw, a few things like that individual person has multiple sites on a Webflow account, and they have thousands and thousands of web pages on it, kind of like a programmatic SEO type thing that they're doing. And Webflow accounts, they call them, what is it, like CMS items, like custom post types, and every you get a limit of those. And so not only was it like massive bandwidth, but also how many content items on his sites as well. That he had. So he had lots of sites with, you know, hundreds of thousands or millions of records, and then they changed their pricing tier. So that's why he's the 0.1% of people who use or building sites at that scale on a platform. So to me, it's the lesson is, if you're going to build a site and you're going to have a lot of content, don't build it on a platform that charges based on how much content you put on it. That's such a weird way of, like, it seems pretty obvious to us probably to just build it on WordPress, because then there's no limit and you can go as big as you want without ever having to worry about it. So,
but I suppose the curious bit about this is not that pricing model. I mean, that pricing model is curious, and obviously, you know, if you intend to have a successful site, you don't really want to be paying per post, if you like. Yeah. We know that you don't have to do that on WordPress. But also the fact that Matt sort of called it out in his little post there, which I thought was kind of interesting. He's obviously, you know, he felt it. I don't know if that's a friend over here, Nico. I don't know if that's somebody that he knows personally or what have you. But in his promotional post for 6.6, he definitely took aim a little bit, albeit very gently.
It's hard to imagine any of Matt's good friends not being on WordPress, but it could happen.
Yeah, that's a good point. I wonder if that's a friendship breaking thing. You know, I've moved to Squarespace.
Can we also talk about the fact that Matt doesn't have to worry about SEO? That's not 350 words. He's not optimizing for keywords. His blog is just so regularly visited. That's my goal in life. I want a blog that I don't have to worry about SEO because everybody just wants to read it.
What do you make of the design? It feels like, I mean, I don't know the heritage of Matt's blog, but it feels like that might be a theme from some way back that he's kind of wedded to and really likes. I don't know.
I think he's very minimalist when it comes to design, and I think that, you know, the jazz and everything kind of all fits together with that. But that's just my two cents.
Well, you can go and add your comments if you like. Anyway, it's ma.tt. /2020. Oh, that's too complicated to say. I'll put it in the show notes, and then you can go and link to it and add your own comments, a bit like our good friend Bob WP did. Look at that, right at the front, getting in there. Okay, so 6.6 is out, and it's cheaper than Webflow, apparently. So that should maybe be the slogan for 6.7. WordPress 6.7, it's cheaper than Webflow. Okay, let's move on. The train never stops, does it? You sort of get one bus comes past, and no sooner has it gone past than you see another one on the horizon. Such is the case for a giant CMS like WordPress. 6.6 has just landed, but 6.6.1 is already available if you want to go and test it. This is kind of like the release candidate phase, just before we go usually through three release candidates, something like that, just to make sure that the next version of WordPress will be stable. And if you like testing it, don't test it on a production website is all I would say, because it's probably going to have bugs in it. And the idea really is that you go and tell people about your bugs and get them squashed. But again, I'll link to that in the show notes. I don't suppose anybody's got anything about that, do they? No, good. Okay. Right, let me carry on. Here we go, a few more comments. Tim's joining us again. This seems to be Matt confused that WordPress is software, whereas Webflow is a SaaS. Hosting companies all have terms and conditions for bandwidth, including WordPress host. Yeah, that's a good point. So are you basically saying there, Tim, that instead of it being directly paid to Webflow, you'll probably pay that same premium over to a hosting company, depending on which one you go for? They will have terms and conditions as well, which monitor how much traffic you've got. Okay. And Cameron's clarifying. Thank you, Cameron, for clearing it all up. His plan allowed 400 gigabytes of bandwidth, and he was using five times that consistently. That's terabytes of bandwidth. Which is insane numbers. Yeah, that is insane. Wow, 400 gigabytes. I mean, that's a healthy amount, isn't it? And if he's 5Xing that, he's doing something right. He must have deep pockets if he's getting that kind of traffic. James joining us. James Lau, thank you very much. I once worked with a startup that used Webflow. They require you to pay more for content blocks or containers, just as Derek was saying. Also, according to the business rep, it would have cost us up to 20K for an enterprise license. What does enterprise get you, I wonder?
Probably better SLAs than...
A shiny badge on your website in the bottom right-hand corner or something saying, I am enterprise.
I've got too much money to spend.
That's right, yeah, little badge like that. That was back in 2023, so actually not that long ago. 20 grand for whatever that enterprise thing is. I'm sure people pay it, so it's probably worth it. Matt's blog shows up in the WP admin dashboard too.
Oh, true. Ooh. I had forgotten. I don't look at the greeting screen in the dashboard very often. So
no. Do you switch that one off as soon as you install a WordPress website? Get rid of the what's happening section, the news section. That's one of the ones.
I don't switch it off, but if I'm logging in, I'm going in for a purpose, and so I'm like immediately going to that page or post or whatever.
You're not looking there. Yeah, okay. And Tim's back. 400 gigabytes is a lot. Well, it depends, Tim, on how high quality your camera is. You know, if you've got like the Hubble Space Telescope quality of camera, it's probably like 3 or something like that. 20. Oh, my mouse is really playing up. And then Patricia's joining us. Thanks, Patricia. I had a podcast chat with Patricia this last week, which is really nice. 20K per year per month. So the article, Nico said, let me just pop it back up on the screen. This chap said it went up, it's per annum, $15,000 per year, up from 468. But it sounds like from everything that's going on in the comments, it sounds like maybe there's quite a lot of justification for this. The person is using tons more than their plan actually allows because they got lots of cats. That's what I've learned. Nico likes cats. Actually, I have a cat called Nico. That's a nice coincidence, right? Okay, let's move on. Not that one. We've done that one. Little promotion time. If you're in the London area, actually, no. If you're even fairly close to London, why not come and join us on the 25th of July, which is 3 days. Let me count. It's 3 or 4 days away from now. It's Thursday, basically. This coming Thursday, 25th of July, from 6:30 until 9 p.m. It's an in-person event. It's one of the few things going on. I know there's WordCamp Whitley Bay, and maybe there's some other stuff going on, but it's one of the few things in the UK going on live at the moment. It's in London, the London Bridge area. It's adjacent to that, and it's at the Klaviyo offices, and the whole thing kicks off from 6:30 p.m. I'm going to be heading down there, so if you want to come. I don't know if the tickets have all sold out yet. I think it may be the case that they have, but you can always register for another one, another event. And we're also always looking out for speakers at these events, and you can apply to speak by clicking this little button here. Yeah. Dave, where are you? Are you anywhere near London? Can we expect you?
I looked into how long it'd actually take to get there. And because of public transport and bits, if we take about 2 hours to do a round trip on there, which is less than ideal.
Yeah.
Especially with the summer holidays coming up as well. They're like, right, I'm off for a jolly into London for the evening. You can deal with the kids.
My round trip is 9 hours for a 2.5 hour event. I am questioning my sanity, but I'm going to go anyway. Cameron said, did I see something about there being another London? Oh, crikey, Cameron. Yeah, that was a story. It's a storm in a teacup. Yes, is the answer. I won't go into it, but another WordPress event came up. So this is the WordPress London meetup. And another one started called the London WordPress meetup. And but that now appears to have gone the way of the dodo. I could be wrong, but felt like at the end of last week, the person who'd set that up made the realization that maybe there was a conflict of interest there. So anyway, so hopefully there's, you know, that's nice and straightforward from now on. This is at WPLDN.uk. You got anything going on where you are, Michelle or Derek? Anything happening in your neck of the woods on a sort of regular basis? These meetup things that in the UK have just died?
We have had a meetup in Rochester. Starting in 2020, we switched to online and we're still going first Monday of every month. We missed once or twice in that time, but we have not stopped having meetups.
Online,
yep. Uh-huh. And so, like, as a matter of fact, like Cameron Jones often attends my meetup online because it's his morning and our night. I get several people from Australia and people from all over the United States and Canada have started to attend our meetup more than there are Rochesterians that are attending the Rochester meetup. So, you know, take that what you will. What? And then we have a WordCamp coming up this fall too.
Oh, nice. And what kind of, you don't have to share numbers, but are you did the attendance sort of fluctuate? Has it gone up or down?
Oh, yeah.
Has it stayed steady?
It's definitely gone down, but we tried to do one or two things in person and nobody showed up. So this is the best way to do it right now. So we have about, I would say we have an average 12 to 20 people that come to our online meetups, which, I mean, we were having maybe 25 to 30 before, so it's not that far off, I guess.
No, it's sort of gone down a little bit. What about you, Derek, where you are? Anything going on, or has it all gone quiet?
I'm in Colorado, and there's a Denver one, and it's the same. It's a Zoom online-only one. I've gone to a couple, but I won't probably leave it at that. Let's just say it.
Okay. Say no more. But yeah, WPLDN.uk if you fancy attending that. I think the ticketing that they can provide is 60 people. And I think they, at the minute, I think they're selling out. So that's a nice, healthy number in a space. You know, it feels like a fairly big thing. It's not like, you know, there's a sort of six of you sitting in a corner or anything like that. So definitely worth checking out. And if you can't make it this time, it's the third Thursday of every month. And if you, I don't know, go here, click apply to speak, you can see all of the dates just down there. So if you do have an intuition that you'd like to speak, you can see that there are some gaps here where they're not in red, and you can apply for those different days. Couple, three in fact, have got a WooCommerce focus. So if that's your thing, you want to speak about WooCommerce, you can see the dates there. Okie dokie. Right, let's move on. Now, I confess, this one got translated by Google Translate. So I don't know how accurately I will be saying this because it was in Spanish when I first pulled this page up. So this is happening in Valencia on the 28th, so 6 days from now. I apologize. It's the 28th of the 9th. I always get confused by this orientation of dates. When you've got the month first and then the date second. We do it the other way around in the UK. Yeah. So the 28th of the 9th, 2024, WordPress Diversity Day. I'll just read the translation. Let's build a more diverse community in the WordPress community. Create a space for meeting and celebrating diversity within the WordPress community, promoting a culture of inclusion, respect, and equal opportunities for all people. And obviously we knew what was going on there. The day is, as I said, it's the 28th of the 9th, and there's a little bit more here. events.wordpress.org/Valencia/2024/diversity day. Links in the show notes. You can buy your tickets. They're looking for sponsors and speakers, and they soon will be looking for volunteers. And it's going to be held at a place called Complex. I'm not even going to try and say that. Complex Esportiu Cultural Pextina. I think I probably butchered that horribly. So if you're in Spain and you fancy doing that, Michelle, is this something you're sort of aligned with in any way? Do you know anything more about this than just the...
In your notes, this is the first time I'm hearing about it. So I'm definitely going to investigate it. But I'm not going to be able to attend if it's in Spain. It would be fun to at least be able to help boost their calls.
Well, we like to promote these things no matter where in the world they are. But apologies to the people who've got this site if your translations got completely balked. I actually was editing a podcast the other day. I recorded a podcast with two fine people at WordCamp in Torino. And one of the participants in the interview was deaf. And they had their phone on the desk facing them. And I was speaking my questions and they were reading out the translate, and it was Google Translate. And I've never, ever, ever used it in my life. But because I was so, so profoundly interested in it, the lady turned it round and I just started talking at it. And it was utterly, utterly, unbelievably accurate. I mean, I've got a fairly thick accent, I think, you know, there's a definite UK twinge to my accent, but I threw some weird stuff at it and it just totally got it first time. So anyway,
it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, well, it gave me confidence in things like this, an automated tool where you press a button and, you know, the website gets translated. Mm-hmm. I really didn't know how accurate it was, but having played with that,
you can use the camera in the Google Translate app as well.
Yeah,
which is what I was translating menus in Italy so that I could see, what does that mean? What am I ordering? What am I eating?
Yeah, you can basically spot a foreigner these days, can't you? Because when there's a menu out, they've got like the you got a mobile phone about 6 inches above the menu facing directly down. And it's pretty cool because not only does it translate, but it tries to get the correct font and it tries to map it exactly over where the words were, so that it covers them up. So it's not like just translating in and then just dumping it into another UI so that you can read it out. You know, and if you move your camera a little bit, the words sort of track around. It's total voodoo. It's the sort of stuff that I watched on Star Trek when I was a little boy and thought, that'll never happen.
I don't think that's the only clue that you are a foreigner when you travel, Nathan, or me either. I think having your phone out is probably not the key indicator, but...
Yeah, that's true. There's a few other cues, isn't there?
Perhaps.
Okay. Anything anybody wants to add to that? Cameron Jones. Yeah, I've done that one. Sorry, Cameron. Elliot, thank you. WP Richmond. Sorry, I keep hiding your face, Michelle. I apologize. WP Chelt has an in-person a couple of months ago, 15 people, trying to get some sponsorship to restart our local with more regular in-person meetups. Elliot, have you got a URL for that we can promote if there's people watching this who have sponsorship capabilities? So WP Chelt, I'm guessing, is Cheltenham. Elliot, tell us more because that's really interesting. It's Google Translate, naughty Google. It inverted the date. So in Spain, they use the variation of the date that we do as well. Dave, Derek, anything about Diversity Day before we crack on?
No? It's all good to encourage.
Yeah, okay, nice. Alrighty, let's go here. Right, WordCamp Canada. I didn't go. It was a very, very long way away. I was a little bit nervous for WordCamp A, as they called it, because a few weeks ago I looked, actually more like, 6 weeks ago or something like that. And the ticket sales at that point were not going as well as hoped, I think it's fair to say. I think they were hoping for much larger numbers. As thankfully, it would appear that between then and the actual event, a lot more people attended. And this article is just a little personal reflection from Sean Hooper, who was one of the organizers. And I won't go into it, but I'll link to it in the show notes because we've got somebody here who went themselves, which is Michelle. But I think it topped out about 300. Did it feel like, you know, did it feel like an event that was, I don't want to say worthwhile, but do you know what I mean? Did the numbers justify the effort for you?
It did. It was great. It's a 4.5-hour drive from me from Rochester, New York, up to Ottawa. So that's not big at all. So we, a coworker and I, we drove up and it was wonderful, you know, getting to see people. And they had a contributor day, which granted was small. There was maybe, you know, 50 people who participated, but a lot of work actually got done that day, which was awesome. And then some really amazing talks. They really focused a lot on Indigenous peoples. And so they asked us speakers to have like a land acknowledgement before we started our talks. And so we did that and talked about whose land it was before it was quote unquote discovered by colonizers, right? And those kinds of things. And as somebody who was giving a talk about underrepresented in tech, I really wanted to kind of drive home the part that, you know, this, we're all on stolen land over here. It was all colonized because it was, you know, owned by Indigenous peoples first. And so we did that. And then there was lots of sponsors. The food was the best food I think I've ever had. Bar none. It was phenomenal. It was a mostly accessible event. The second floor was not accessible if you had to use stairs. It was only stairs. So I wasn't able to access like the green room for speakers and the quiet room, but that was just a small thing. Everything else was fully accessible. And the team, very small organizing team, pulled off an amazingly large event. So kudos to all of them. It was phenomenal.
The names here, if this is all there was, and I say all, I don't mean that in the way it might come out.
It was.
So Shanta, Matt, apologies, I don't know the names, surnames, but Shanta, Matt, Jamie, Kira, Paul, Rick, Gina, and Ryan. So what's that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 people pulling off an event of that magnitude. Did you, Michelle, did you get any sense? Because obviously a lot of these events are attended by sponsors and the sponsorship piece is pretty crucial to make these events happen in that, you know, you basically just can't afford to make it happen without the sponsors.
Right.
Any thoughts on that? Like, did, you know, if you've got 300 people attending and, well, basically, did you have any intuitions about whether the sponsors thought that was enough and whether they'd do it again or anything like that?
Looking at it from as a potential sponsor next year for Stellar WP, I would say that I don't know how the sponsors this year felt. I would think, you know, 300 is decent, but sometimes you'd like to see more, of course, especially with the costs and things as they are in today's market. But it is an event expecting that it will grow from the success of this year. This is an event that I would suggest that my team at least looks at sponsorship for next year. So okay. I would say I thought of it positively from a potential sponsors.
Yeah. I guess having one under the belt really helps. So Patricia's joined us, and I know Patricia's involved in the community a lot. Tendency everywhere like this. It seems that people wait until the last minutes to buy their tickets to any event. Okay.
Can I just say 100%? They also wait to apply to speak. I had an event last Friday. We had Stellar Spark, which we can talk about later if you want. But, you know, I had it out there for weeks and weeks and weeks. And yet it was in the last week that I got over 400 signups. And so it's just the way that people do things now. They just wait till the last minute. Am I going to be available? All of those things. And then you end up with, you know, over 400 signups in the last 5 days when the last 5 weeks before that you're going, is this going to work?
Nice. So how did it go? How did it go?
Oh,
we featured it in the run-up too, but we
appreciate
didn't.
That.
Yeah. No, it's okay. How did it go?
Yeah.
You happy with it?
I was very happy with it. Really great speakers. Lots of engagement from the community, people who are watching the talks and things like that. And of course, you know, we recorded everything. It's all going to be available on the Stellar YouTube and blog once I have time to go in and slice and dice up all of those. As you know, when you put on a big event and you run it 8 or 9 hours of YouTube, you have to then take that 9 hours and chop it up into 9 different hours. And so that's going to be my project this week is going to be doing that, but I'm very excited about it.
So was it all one live stream then? It was sort of from start to finish. It was just one giant YouTube long video. Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Two of them actually, because we had 2 tracks.
Yeah.
But Josepha gave an amazing keynote, which was awesome. We had a nice, you know, smattering of diversity and topics, which I was really excited about. So we had people, everything from SEO to marketing to, I can't even think right now, images and everything else. Like, it was just, I was very, very pleased with the way it all happened. And I'm, you know, if there's topics that you wanted to see, I'm going to have them out there this week. So anybody is eligible and available to watch them.
Did you do it with a platform like this? Did you use some sort of video platform?
StreamYard. StreamYard.
More or less the same sort of idea. Okay, mm-hmm. That's interesting. Yep. Well, congratulations. Thank you very much.
Thank you
for doing that. Cameron's making a point about these same things. He says low price points also contribute to last minute sign-ups. If ticket costs were higher, people would plan further in advance. Yeah, I wonder about things like WordCamp Europe, whether or not you'd get 3,000 people paying that kind of money. It's kind of interesting. You obviously do get it when the price is low. And then Patricia also says, for what I have seen, it's worse since the pandemic and not easy for organizers.
I 100% agree.
That sort of demoralizing feeling when you put an event on and put blood, sweat, and tears into it and not many people show up must be,
What's interesting is, so I've been to the last three WordCamp Montclairs, and the one right after lockdown, like when we first started coming back, had a lot of people because it was literally like the first WordCamp in the United States after we were allowed to have them in person again. It was like 150 people. The next year it was down below 100. And then this year was back up to, I would say, like 120. So I think we see a little bit of a dip and things are starting to come back now. People are starting to have a comfort level and think about travel again.
Nice. And then Marcus, who's obviously with GoDaddy, says we at Go. Okay. So Marcus, you were there sponsoring the event, right? So back to WordCamp Canada, not Stella. We at GoDaddy felt it was worth being there as sponsors. Oh, that's good to hear. Okay. So maybe the future of the event is not in question. And Patricia said she saw some of the Stella Spark sessions. Congratulations.
Thank you. Congratulations. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Nice. Okay. No. All right. This one's firmly in your court. I did.
You did, yeah. You're back.
Okay. I'm back in the room. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe my son's on holiday, and so the computer and gaming is out. And, you know, it's all happening. He's got every which computer switched
on. Taking up your bandwidth.
Yeah, he's using up my bandwidth. He should be at school, and he's using up my bandwidth. Naughty boy. Right. Okay. This one is in your wheelhouse again, Michelle. This is the WP Community Collective, and it was a press release that came out more or less exactly a week ago. The WP Community Collective announces first cohort for incentivizing DEIB in WP. I'll just read it, be quickest. WP Community Collective is pleased to announce the first cohort of participants in its new program, Incentivizing DEIB in WP. The organizers of the inaugural WordCamp Canada took an active approach to DEIB with multiple panel sessions and even the opening keynote presentation, all focused on DEIB issues. I find that so hard to say. The WPCC is proud to support the work of two of the individuals who participated, and they are, I'm going to say, Megan Van Harten, but I don't know if you pronounce it as Megan or not, and Nyasha Green. You can see their little potted biographies there. And then there's more about the program here. Did you want to add anything about that, Michelle?
I just think every time we have an opportunity to support underrepresented speakers and organizers to WordPress events, that we should, if we have the ability to do so, we should absolutely help these people attend. It's the work I do with underrepresented in tech, and the fact that so many times underrepresented people are making less money, they're working more than one job to kind of cobble things together sometimes, and being able to support without having to harm them financially, I think is really, really important. I've been the recipient of things like that before, where I couldn't attend something without help from the community. So I know how much it means to be able to be supported into an event like that. So if you have an opportunity to donate to the WP Community Collective to help more people attend events in the future, please do.
Nice. Okie dokie. Again, links in the show notes. Right, let's head. There seems to be loads of eventy stuff this week. I don't quite know why that is. But WordCamp 2025, your WordCamp Europe 2025, though I don't know if you caught this story a couple of weeks ago, but Shahajan Jewell, who's from WP Manage Ninja, they have, you know, a form plugin and a CRM and loads of different things. They're really keen to be in attendance at the events. I don't know if they do sponsorships, but they certainly send a crew of people. They go to as many of these things as possible. And he made the point that WordCamp Europe in 2025 actually crosses the boundaries of a really significant public holiday. If you're a Muslim, obviously that spreads throughout a whole load of different countries. And he likened it to putting the event on during Christmas, basically.
Right.
You know, the importance of that holiday is extremely profound for that little. Gosh, it's like enormous. The second biggest religion on earth, is my understanding. And so it's really going to make it much more difficult or uncertain, or, you know, I imagine in some cases just not possible for a whole swathe of people to attend. It's actually happening between the 5th and 7th of June, 2025. And so Jewel, he likes to be called Jewel, or at least that's what he said to me. He made a plea that could the date be changed, because he would like to bring a team to go to the event. Anyway, so the team took this on board, and this is the piece in response to that. And essentially it boils down to this. Unfortunately, the company, I'm going to say the company, it says here, the one that we used.
The calendar that they were using.
Calendar, was it not a company or something? We used the WordPress European Host City Selection Committee. Okay. Anyway, yeah, that's fine. Unfortunately, whatever they used didn't include the 2025 dates for the, how do you say it, Michelle, again?
Eid
al-Adha. Apologies if I butchered that name. And they basically just didn't see that event coming. So they made attempts to contact the venue and say, is there any wiggle room here? But you can imagine an event of the size of WordCamp Europe and the kind of venue that they need, it's just going to be solid booked, isn't it? And that is, in fact, the case. However, and contracts, it's in.
How many games going on over there?
I know. I don't know. So I'll jump in and say that we did discuss this last week on Underrepresented in Tech, our podcast. And my partner there, Sama Nasser, she said, she does the research. She's the research girl, that there are 8 billion people in the world and 1.2 billion of them are Muslim. And so it's a huge percentage of the world that this affects. And it is akin to having this over a Christmas holiday, for example. And so it's just one of the things that's really difficult. Yeah, I mean, and you know, it's definitely was not intentional. And I know that they're, next year or the year after, we'll be looking at different dates, et cetera. But I think it's good that people call it out in a very positive way, right? So nobody was attacking. And it was an opportunity to just kind of educate people about how we can do better and how we could be more inclusive that way. Let's hope Nathan comes back to his own podcast. I have no control over what's on the screen. Next we'll have to make sure that somebody else also, there he is, he's back. We continued without you.
You know what? Do you know what was really interesting there, right? So A, I've got a flaky internet connection, obviously, today, which is going to annoy me. When I've got off the call, there's going to be some angry words. But also, I just kept on talking. I just kept going.
I took over. We had a full conversation.
Where did we get to? Where did you get to?
I talked about how we discussed this on Underrepresented in Tech last week and how there are 8 billion people in the world and 1.2 billion of them are Muslim and practice the Islamic faith. And so we really wanted to talk about the fact that that yes, it was an oversight. It was not intentional. Me and Sama from Underrepresented in Tech, and then there was lots of conversations happening on the posts that we put out about our podcast episode. People grateful that, you know, that organizations like yours, like mine, are actually bringing more light to it. Jewel wrote the post, but if we didn't also share it, it would be hard for anybody to know that it was happening. But also, nobody's blaming. We're all just hoping that in the future it gets better. And I see Patricia in the comments saying, yes, it's very sad. And yes, we're, you know, in that post and other places, that there's other calendars that will come into play to make sure that we don't have events overlapping like this again. No.
Nathan's been hit by CrowdStrike. I have no idea. I have no idea. I have a relentlessly reliable internet connection, which is kind of, it's kind of interesting when stuff like that doesn't work, how much you don't take it, how much you take it for granted. You know what I mean? It's like when you turn the tap on that one day in a decade where no water comes out, you're suddenly like, the heck?
Oh.
What? And it was just like that there. I think I've done, well, I've done this show 303 times and I don't think I've had a single dropout in that time. So it'll happen again in a few moments, I'm pretty sure. I don't
we'll
know
just
if
keep
you made,
talking.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I don't know if you made the same point as me, but I was making the point that that essentially they cannot reorganize it because the venue yes. is booked and they've signed a bunch of contracts. So that's right. the way. That's where this story ends, basically. Anybody want to jump in on that?
I just want to say, if you call something out in a positive light and ask for things to be better in the future and things get better in the future, that's how we do it properly, right? There's no vitriol. There's no, you know, he said, she said, it's none of that kind of thing. It's a, hey, we just want to make sure that this doesn't happen again. And then the team says, we've put things in place so that this doesn't happen again. That's how we get better as a community.
There's one comment to say it moves 10 days every year. So it's not like Christmas and Easter is pretty much around the same time. So it's just, yeah.
Yeah, they have a lunar calendar, don't they? Whereas we have a solar calendar. So the months are sort of set around.
Easter is also lunar, though. Easter can be in March or April. Yeah. So, you know, it's the same kind of thing. It does move around. You just have to be aware of it when you're looking at things. And having that calendar that pushes all faiths in it will be helpful.
I'm going to push back on that because Easter oscillates. It goes forwards a bit, backwards a bit. Whereas
the same date.
Yeah, but whereas the Jewish calendar and the Islamic calendar literally goes round our year. So, you know,
no, I understand.
It could be like, I don't know, February one time, and then, you know, 6 years later, it could be in, I don't know, June or something like that. So, yeah. And just popping this on the screen, Patricia says, there was a calendar in the community team resources, the event organizer handbook, and unfortunately this was not complete and it didn't list it. The community team has now updated the resources in the handbook. It's unfortunate that nobody contributed earlier to say the calendar resource was not a good one and the committee used the community resource. And then Ali, hello Ali, joining us. Thank you, Patricia, for all that you did. I'll be there anyway. We'll just call the fam from is that like a private comment, do you think, maybe, that we've stumbled across?
They're saying that they're going to attend anyway, and even though it's a family holiday from Basel, they'll call their family to wish them happy holidays and then back to WordCamp.
Great, thank you. Easter is lunar. How is it lunar if it doesn't move throughout the year? Isn't it solar? Because it's just an arbitrary date set in the calendar that they move backwards and forwards.
No, it's absolutely lunar.
Is it lunar, but it's bound to a particular solar month or a solar time of year? We shouldn't get into this. This is going to totally derail us.
I will look it up and I will share some resources with you after the show.
Yeah, thank you. Right, okay. Yeah, that's just not the point of this podcast at all. I want to thank Shahajan for respectful communication and not blaming anyone. It's exactly like that. Which one? Which one is it exactly like? Okay, I'm gonna leave the comments there. Can somebody just in the comments tell us how lunar calendars work and solar calendars work? Google
it's the first
for
Sunday
us.
After the full moon.
Say again.
It's the first Sunday after a full moon.
So what is?
Well, no, ask Alan. I'll just read it.
Okay.
It's the first Sunday.
Alan says.
Yeah, after the full moon, after the spring equinox.
Okay, so but the spring right. the spring equinox is a solar event, right?
I don't know, but this is still based on full moons, though, so it's still based on lunar activity.
I think it's the juxtaposition of solar and lunar. Now we've really gone meta, right? I'm stepping. Yeah, exactly. I'm stepping away from this problem. It's above
What's
my
your
pay
next tab?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And actually, it's a really nice one, and it's a 2-minute YouTube video for you to watch. This is so. I'm not going to put it on the screen because it's, you know, you can do it in your own sweet time. But if you're just curious about how the WordPress community works in different parts of the world, this is really worth a watch. As I said, it's 2 minutes long, and it's a highlight video of the Uganda website project competition from 2024. We featured it on the podcast a couple of weeks ago when it was just sort of out there as a web page. And then they put together this video. And I just love this kind of stuff where you just get an insight into a community, a part of the world where you never normally would. So I'll put a link into the show notes, but you can see, if you're watching this, you can go and Google it right away. Highlights video, Uganda website project competition 2024. From the WordPress Uganda community, and it's pretty heartwarming in all honesty, and they've got no comments at the moment, so get in there and improve that. So there's nothing really to add to that. I just thought that was nice. Okay, here's some news. Two companies that I've heard of, but one that I know nothing about. So WP Engine, a pretty giant WordPress managed hosting company. I don't know on what sort of scale they are, but it certainly seems from all the bits and pieces that I've seen at sponsored events and things, they're one of the big ones. They have acquired a SaaS platform called NitroPack. And this is something that I've heard of, but never really explored. But the usual caveat emptors apply. You know, this is a PR release, so it's very promotional. But it just basically says that they have acquired NitroPack, an all-in-one SaaS solution for improving speed and performance metrics, including Core Web Vitals. The fact that I've heard about it and I'm so doggedly interested in WordPress, I don't know if they've got a plugin or what, but anyway, I thought I'd mention that if, you know, more acquisition in the sort of WordPress space. Why would WP Engine want to buy a SaaS product that speeds up website? Why wouldn't they want a WordPress solution? I don't know. That seems curious. Anybody got a thought on that?
Nigel Pack.
They,
go ahead.
From what I'm saying, W Engine has used NitroPack for some of their tool internal, like when you log into your dashboard, that gives you some information about your website and stuff like that. So I could log into my WP Engine account. I can see, oh, my site has a really good rating. Here's where some problems are. Here's how you can prove it, stuff like that. So it sounds like they're just going to, because they've been using NitroPack for a while. And now,
when you say they've been using it,
it's just to give recommendations, to say that there are issues with your site when you log in. So it's like a value added benefit. By having WP Engine, you get these extra notes saying, hey, your website's kind of slow. Here's some ways to maybe make it faster. So instead of paying NitroPack to use a service, they were just like, we're just going to eat you up.
Have I got this right then, Derek? So is it part of the WP Engine sort of admin panel, if you know what I mean? If you're paying customer for WP Admin, it will give you NitroPack suggestions. Okay, right. I understand. Yeah. Well, that makes much more sense in that case. I guess it would need to be. So they'll go out there, scrape your website, give you some suggestions, and then obviously, you know, you can go and find your WordPress solution for that. Okay, thank you. I'm going to drag it straight back to Lunar and Solar because that's what this podcast is actually about. And so I hope Alan's confirming it for us. He says it's a solar and lunar hybrid. So there, now we've got it figured. And Jess Frick says,
never heard of that.
Never heard of them. WP Engine, never heard of them. Pressable. She wants to write the word pressable, but she didn't. But Jess Frick was on last week's show and she works for Pressable, which, you know, gets mentioned in the same breath as things like WP Engine, I guess. And Courtney's joining us to say that she's a little bit late because Mondays. Yeah. No, the feeling. Thank you very much. Anyway, so if you're a WP Engine user, I guess you won't see any changes. Maybe you will, but, you know, I guess WP Engine won't be needing to pay for that particular thing anymore. Anything on that, Dave, before we move on?
I'm just going back to Lunar Cycle thing. So you've got to call this episode This Lunar Cycle in WordPress.
Oh, no. What? Okay, let's put it down. This Lunar Cycle in WordPress. Okay, that's
my contribution.
That's in the mix. That is in the mix. Thank you very much. Okay, let's move on. Now, this is kind of curious. I don't know if you follow this. There's so many plugins in the WordPress space. This is kind of an interesting little story in that there's a, I'm going to call it a block suite. I don't know if that accurately describes it, but it was called, was called Qwikly, spelled in a really curious way, Qwikly. And it gained traction in quite a few different places. I think in the automatic CSS community, there's a product by Kevin Geary called Automatic CSS. And I think he had some sort of relationship, you know, his automatic CSS worked with Quickly. Anyway, it gained a lot of popularity. And then a little while ago, I'm going to make it up, 5-6 months ago, the founders, singular, plural, I don't know, they decided to get rid of the plugin, to stop working on it entirely and just mothball the whole project, and pointed out on social media, if memory served, that that there was just too much going on. You know, like personal attacks, things like that, which is, you know, pretty hard to hear. I think we're in the WordPress community, we like to think of ourselves as a little bit nicer than that, but of course, you know, that's not always the case. So decided to mothball the project, took the PR hit from that, and I just assumed, well, that's the end of that then, we'll never hear about that. And yet here we are. Discourse.quickly.com, the future of Quickly, and the founder, Louis, I don't know, says, hello, Quickly will be coming to the WordPress plugin directory soon, we hope. As already discussed, there must be further discussions above this. Bug fixes, potential security patches, etc., and WordPress compatibility will continue to be addressed. With Quickly making its way into the directory, we also plan a few more features improvements also. There's a linked page to this where they go into a little bit more detail. Lewis sort of goes point by point and addresses all of the different things that have happened, and, you know, people are making comments, and then he, you know, gives his rebuttal and what have you. But I just thought, what would you make of this if this was a plugin that you had used and they publicly said, that's the end of that, we're stopping it entirely, like we're just going to completely stop working on it, and then a few months later come back? Now, before, I think it was for profit. I don't know if they had anything in the repo, but now they definitely do. And I think they've got a pivot on how they're going to make money out of it. But I don't mean to be harsh, I really don't, but do you not see that as a fairly catastrophic foot in mouth episode, really? What do you think? Anybody?
I can't imagine anyone who builds sites for clients or has a site that they rely on for making money in any way would ever use a tool like that after knowing that. There's no way. You're not going to build something, especially, you know, someone's building client sites, especially, you're not going to build your whole foundation, because we usually build a workflow around using one specific tool. Whatever page builder you end up using, you use pretty much the same one, so, or speed of build. So I'm not going to build 100 client sites and then just, oh my God, now it's gone. There's no way I would.
Derek, I'm not going to ask you to be more candid than you want to be, but has there ever been a moment in your sort of development career, specifically in the WordPress plugin space, where you've sort of looked in the mirror and thought, blimey heck, this is hard work, and, you know, thought about throwing in the towel, but then didn't execute on that because you knew on some level, well, that literally would, there's no coming back from that? Because it feels like you don't just take that one plugin down. It feels like there's a reputational damage which is bigger than that, because let's say you took one of your plugins down in the way that they did. I'm forever not just going to associate the plugin with that. I'm going to think, oh, that was Derek. Derek did that.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's something that you've ever sort of encountered, or, you know, had to mothball a project and then did it in a different way. If you've got anything, great. If not, don't worry, we'll move on.
I've never had to. I've had the thought probably 10 times a day. Yeah, because I'm a plugin developer. I'm a business owner. So yeah, I was throwing in the towel because this stuff's hard. so yeah, but at the end of the day, it's what you do. You keep going at it. I will say I've always run across, I won't say I always, I have run across some people where have given me some really harsh feedback, and, but I've been doing this for 20 plus years now, so I know how to just let things roll off my back at this point. But it can be hard to hear something that you've worked on a lot and have someone say something negative about it. So I can understand that, the challenges, but I understand how someone could get to that point, but I'm also on the other side. And if someone closed down something I was trying to build a business on, there's no way I could rely on that person or that company again to continue building client sites or build, you know, use it as a way to build a business upon. There's just no way.
I think that's a really interesting point that you made, though, that, you know, you've maybe had those thoughts before, and you've also drawn out there that you can get some fairly unexpected and possibly profoundly, you know, alarming comments that just come your way on social media that you didn't expect. And the impact of that, I mean, I'm sure all of us at some point had something come across our social media that sort of just made us pause and stop. And everybody's a different character, aren't they? Some people could, it's like water off a duck's back. It's like, yeah, it wasn't, I am not going to take any notice of that, or it wasn't personal or whatever. But depending on who you are and how you interact with those kind of things, it might be that, you know, that's just the way you want to take it. But I guess if you're going to do it in a public arena, you do sort of pull the drawbridge up a bit behind you, don't you? And you make it, you're definitely going to make it a little bit more difficult for people to, I don't know, invest their time, effort and money in your project. Dave, any thoughts on that? Same set of questions, really, for that I gave Derek, but yeah.
Yeah, pretty much on the plugin side of things, I'm like minuscule compared to that. But yeah, on the whole, if you've been doing sites and had the rug pulled out from under you, had to rebuild client sites, then it's like, oh, by the way, we're back in business, start using that. Then I'll be like, no, I might just sort of, at most, might play with it to see what I might have been missing out on that side. But yeah, for anything that you're actually going to rely on that you couldn't then spend more than like a day or two to rebuild, if it's like a hobby project on that side, then it's not a case of it's the only thing you could use. If you literally had a monopoly on this particular plugin or something on there that was irreplaceable, you'd think, oh, I can go back to doing that. But one of the plus sides with WordPress, you can swap to many different alternatives on that side. So, yeah, what I don't understand the full reasons why they left on that side, to kind of come back, you'd want a lot more reassurance that it wasn't going to happen again, or the whole thing was then going to be open. So if they did need to pull back, then other people could then sort of jump in on that side, which if it's on the repo,
yeah,
in theory, it is out there that other people could do. But yeah, I'd still be kind of a bit cautious, to say the least, on that side.
Yeah, it's kind of curious, isn't it? We'll wait and see how that story develops. But, you know, the intention of an episode like this is not to denigrate those people. I feel maybe I did do a little bit of that over the last minute, so that isn't my intention. I hope that it works out for you. You know, I hope that it works and that you manage to be successful with it. But it will be interesting to see whether there is a sort of backlash, whether people can put their trust in it. So the story that is probably the biggest story of the week has actually got nothing to do with WordPress, but it's definitely technology related. We'll just finish on this one. OMG. this is, I don't know if this affected you in your part of the world, but I genuinely had almost no interaction with this at all. I was at my computer, I think it was Saturday, and I got a message from Mark Westgaard from WS Form. And it was about, I don't know, it was about 9 in the morning in the UK. So where Mark is, it must have been like 3 in the morning. And I just said to him, what are you doing up? Go to bed. And he said, I'm watching this CrowdStrike story unfold. I'm like, what? I don't even know what's going on. So then I opened up the almost every newspaper that I could find, and they all were leading with the exact same story. This CrowdStrike thing, which is, it sounds like it's an enterprise security solution. So it's not something you're going to have on your Mac or Windows. I think it's Windows. But, you know, the likes of me are not going to have it. But if you're a big, I don't know, train operator in the UK, or you operate a healthcare service in the UK or an airport, for example, then this is the kind of thing you will have. And they pushed an update which killed Windows. I mean, I don't even know what to say. Whoops is about the long and the short of it, isn't it? But the list of things in the UK that went down was properly profound. You know, you just looked at it and you thought, okay, potentially this is the work of one individual, one person committed to, I don't know, I'm just making it up, but potentially one person committed a line of code, one person maybe checked it over, I don't know, maybe it was teams of people, but at some point, somebody clicked the, you know, push button, and up it went, and just green, what is it on Windows? Is it blue screen of death?
Blue screen of death.
Yeah. It blue screened computers throughout the world. So we had so healthcare services in the UK were down. They couldn't issue medicine. Train networks were down. Airports were shot. And it just, the list just went on and on and on. And it's kind of funny. You know, it's like an episode of Black Mirror or something. But at the same time, I went into the news agent the following day and almost every headline was along the lines of, we can't allow this kind of stuff to happen again, or we can't allow like computers to be at the center of everything that we do, including cashless payments, which is kind of an interesting thing. So firstly, what happened where you live? What went down? What did it take out? Let's start with Dave, which I presume is similar to me.
I didn't actually go anywhere on Friday, so I just saw the news via the complete unrelated Windows incident. Thought about a problem not related to that bit, which then thought later on, like trying to solve these things, like, well, that's why you never push stuff live on their Fridays.
yeah, right. Never do it live on a Friday. Okay. So, I mean, if you weren't following the news and you weren't getting on public transport and you didn't need to see the doctor and, you know, the whole laundry list of things that went wrong, you never know it would happen, right? Because the internet was still up and newspapers still worked and Twitter still worked and all that. But it was very profound. What about you, Derek? Did it affect you in any way, or, you know, people that you know? Or
it's funny because I drove my kids to the airport on a Friday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, which, and I'm an hour away from our airport in Denver, and hearing the news, all that stuff, flights are, you know, what was going to happen. So we left an extra hour early in case it was just going to be absolute chaos at the airport. We flew Southwest, which apparently I think they even had a funny tweet saying that they weren't affected by it or something like that. And I would say it was probably one of the smoothest experiences at an airport I've ever had. I don't know if it's because most of the flights ended up getting canceled, so the security line was like 10 minutes because everyone was canceled, so no one showed up maybe. I don't know, but it's funny because we planned to get there early in case it was chaos, and then we flew through it. It was great, yeah.
How funny.
We flew through the airport. It was not a problem. Got them in and out, and yeah. So
it actually improved your quality of life. That's so funny.
Yeah.
Okay. And Michelle, anything where you are, or, you know, stories in the press, or
imagine waking up to run 2 tracks over 9 hours of an online event to the words "global outages."
Oh.
And no, it didn't affect the internet, of course, but the number of people saying, is it still on? Is it still on? Is it still on? Because of that was a little distracting. I don't know if it affected our attendance because people might have been so much into trying to solve other issues, but clearly it didn't affect the fact that we had the online event, but it was a little nerve-wracking at first, but it didn't affect me otherwise.
I feel like it was a bit of a, how to describe it? Bit of a dry run for something which could be much worse. And you know, in the same way that COVID was horrible and all, but that, you know, some sort of pathogen could have been significantly worse, right? So I hate to imply that COVID wasn't, you know, like a big deal, because I had it the other day and it was absolutely god awful
miserable.
Yeah, really miserable. And obviously it, you know, it killed hundreds of thousands of people and all that sort of stuff, but it could, let's be honest, it could have been like every third human could have been, right? And so some people talk about that being a bit of a dry run for the health services and things like that. And it feels as almost like this event could have been a bit like of a wake up call in the same vein. Like, look what can happen from one software vendor. And it's not even Microsoft. It was a sub, you know, something which bolts itself onto Microsoft Windows.
Do you think it's a dry run for Y3K?
Why are you saying that, I wonder? Let me put the thing up here. So this is Matt Mullenweg again. He's on the Twitter this time. He says it's like Y2K happened 24 years late. By the way, if you're watching this and you don't know what Y2K is, then I want to be your age.
Yeah.
Right. There was this moment in history, the year 2000, exactly as the clocks turned midnight on the year 2000, it was widely predicted that loads of technology would fail because there wasn't enough space to record the extra data that was required to have 4 digits instead of 2 digits.
And I remember people saying things like,
yeah, your oven's going to break, your toaster's going to stop working, you know.
Planes are going to fall out of the sky.
Yeah, all of that. Yeah. And so there was loads of remedial work done. And then it turned out when it actually happened, I don't know anything, not a single thing that happened. And it seems like, you know, the tech industry made a ton of money out of updating things.
I will say.
Oh, go on, Derek.
I was going to say, I think it's why they said nothing happened, because a lot of work did go into make sure that nothing happened.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I suppose there's that side of the coin. But it felt a bit like that with this. And it did make, honestly, it did make me question if the effect of this one little software vendor, well, little, that's a ridiculous word to say, but, you know, this one software vendor could be so profound and keep planes from working, stop people getting cash out of ATM machines. You know, stop people receiving vital medicine in some cases, because the machines that were, you know, the custodians of who's allowed what weren't working. That's pretty profound. And it does make me wonder, I wonder if we do need to be a little bit more circumspect about the amount that we've given over to technology. And obviously all four of us in some way would describe ourselves as technologists. We love it, right? All the new shiny things. It's great. Mm-hmm. But there comes a point where maybe we need a paper backup, actually planned paper backup, so that when the computer system fails, there is something to flip back to. And apparently a few dental surgeries and GP surgeries in the UK did have that planning done. They literally had a mitigation plan for the computer outage and just whipped out the pads of paper that allowed them to do whatever they wanted to do. Let's see what we got here. Alan's saying, there was a very funny video on Twitter where a bloke claims it was him. His first day as an intern. Oh, let's pray it was a spoof. If that was the case, gosh, heads will roll. I think probably a lot of value was wiped off the internet on that day. Not the internet, wiped off the stock market on that day. I don't actually know. Not the same, says Patricia, but it could happen to other tech stack, including PHP or WordPress. See Yoast and Juliet talk at WCE. This is about the PHP testing suite, isn't it? I think Patricia's talking about. Sometimes we rely on one person. Okay, so it's not a software update. It's hitting by a bus philosophy where you take out the one person. You seen that during that, what's that cartoon called? The guy who does all the cartoons on the internet, and it's a four-letter word. Oh, it doesn't matter. XKCD, that's it. And he's got the entire internet stacked up beautifully. It's this beautiful collection of building blocks, but there's this one tiny little building block, which when you look closely, if that tiny block goes, the entire edifice falls down. And so it's a little bit like that. Glad we have auto update rollbacks in time, says Ali. Yeah, not that it would have affected us. We can be smug this time around. Prime example of why Cameron recommends not using automatic updates. Epocalypse is coming not too far away. because we fixed text bug before it happened. What else have we got? Testing team shift 25. Yeah. Sorry, I'm just whipping through these because I can see the time is tight. Yes, Alan, that's what I was going to say. Thank you for fixing before it was a problem. And finally, Matt pontificated, what if WP had a similar issue? Yeah, I didn't see that. Was he saying that WordPress having a similar issue could just destroy 43% of the web? Yeah.
I think he said if someone committed like a die command into core, would that get caught? Because basically die terminates whatever's running at that point. So it's just a case of how easy or hard would it be for something like that to kind of just get sneaked through and appear somewhere?
I did a podcast episode with Aaron Jorbin. I don't know if you've come across him, but he is a core committer and is very often the person at the last moment when they decide to push the next version of WordPress. So 6.6.1, for example, somebody has to make that decision. And sometimes it's him. And I couldn't do that. I would be freaking out. You know, did we test everything? Are we sure? Is it definitely not going to kill a million sites out there? And yet it basically goes smoothly. But the difference, I suppose, between like the 6.6.1 and 2 and 3 is that will automatically update for millions of people, Whereas you know, for the core updates, you often might have to go in and click the button and be a bit more circumspect about it. So time to roll things out and check things. But yeah. So yeah, I'm glad that Aaron's doing that, not me. That's it. That's all I've got time for. Unless you've got anything you want to promote or mention, you three.
I'm good.
You're good?
Yeah. I was just going to say, for Cameron's apocalypse thing, that's because I think Linux systems store the dates in an integer number, and that's getting close to the top when it then starts getting at zero. So basically it's Y2K, but with a longer number involved.
What's that to do with?
Basically Linux and thinking the timestamp uses like an integer, so like a really long number, which basically got a lower and an upper bound, and when it gets to the top, it starts again at the bottom.
Oh, okay.
So it'd be Y2K all over again for people that like longer numbers.
So what, but is that like some like crazy date into the future, or is that coming fairly soon when it's going to reboot itself?
I can't remember before you stick the bits in here, but yeah, I was always thinking it's like 2032 or something that's not too distant, but back in the 70s, we thought, hey, no computer's still going to be running this code at that point. That'd be fine. So,
Yeah, and we know, you know, Linux hardly does anything on the internet, so we don't need to worry. Nobody's using Linux for anything. No. Free piece of software. Everybody's on Windows. No, they're not. Well, thank you for that.
Can I say one thing?
Mm.
Starting tomorrow is the summer sale for Stellar WP, 40% off of all of our products.
Nice. Where do we go? StellarWP.com.
Yep, or any one of our products. So GiveWP, RCP, all of the different, the events calendar, LearnDash, those will all be 40%. There'll be a banner on top of every one of the sites tomorrow.
Do you know for how long? Did you say that?
It's a week.
Okay. Get 40% off over at StellarWP, the events calendar, all of the different bits and pieces they do. Mm-hmm. Derek, Dave, any promo stuff you want to do before we knock it on the head?
Check out ConvergentFridgeWP.com. I'm not doing any promos because I'm going on vacation. So, buy when I get back from vacation.
Yeah.
there
we go.
But that, and I also have WP Sunshine for my confetti and Audra, my address autocomplete plugins as well.
Nice. So WP Sunshine, Google that, or go to ConvergentBridgeWP.com and you can check out the fine work. And Dave, headsupwp.com is there. We can see that on your little moniker there. Anything else you want to say before we
If you like have problems with your notification emails because some other client's gone rogue and you've got all those things through a bit, then Google for site owner admin plugin. And hopefully if Google's not got rid of me, there should be somewhere up there, or ourwpplugins.com, and you can sort of find it on there. But as I say, Derek, no promotions because I'm off on holiday next week, but there might be something coming up in the summer holidays, just because, frankly, the kids need ice creams.
Think of the children.
Yeah, think of the children.
I love that. That's great. So the same is true over here. I'm going on holiday, so we won't have it this week in WordPress number 304. Next week, it'll be the week following that. So have a nice fortnight, as we say in the UK. Have a good, nice 14-day break, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks. Just before we go, we do this, you know, the hand wavy, and I'm in a different spot because
you are
bailed out. Try again, Derek, if you can go a little bit. Yeah, just a little, and there we go. Nice. And thank you so much to everybody who made a comment. And just quick one thing there. Cameron Jones says the Linux apocalypse is going to be in the year 2038. So you got a little while to prepare. But all right, we'll see you guys next time on This Week in WordPress. Have a nice day. Take it easy.
Bye.
Thanks, guys.
Bye, 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 bye.